Okay, there's a Brexit deal, so what's different? For Marketplace, I'm Andy Euler, and for David Brancaccio, a no-deal Brexit has been avoided, and new rules will come into play soon. After all, the UK government still has to figure out what life outside of the European Union looks like. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, joins me now from London to discuss. Victoria, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Andy.
So what cross-border trading rules have changed as a result of this?
Well, basically, there's just going to be a lot more paperwork to fill out starting today. So 220 million new customs declarations now need to be completed. And the UK government estimates that will come at a cost of nearly $10 billion to British businesses. They've also said they need to complete rule of origin checks, food inspections, and have product safety certificates completed. So while businesses have been trying to prepare for this situation for the last 4 years since Britain voted to leave the EU, the terms of the trading relationship haven't been decided until just last week. So a lot of businesses are still really trying to figure out what all of this means for them.
There's tons to figure out. And this has been about sovereignty. You're right about sort of the vote from folks in the UK. But this also has its own economic implications that also haven't really been figured out either, right?
Yeah, exactly. So this is a huge change. I mean, remember, the UK was part of the EU for nearly 5 decades. And so untangling that relationship requires a lot of really close examination and figuring out what changes and what doesn't and who agrees to what. And while goods, you know, a decision on how goods will be traded has been figured out, a decision on how services are traded still isn't decided. And there are various permits that need to be required for financial services to continue in the way that they have been. So a lot of those things are still sort of up in the air. And with it, the economic implication of all of this is still up in the air as well.
The BBC's Victoria Craig in London, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Andy.
Sports fans like me will tell you that watching games in 2020 was different. Leagues had to cancel hundreds of events, and if games were played, they were done so without spectators. In 2021, all signs point to games with fans being back, but Marketplace's Jasmine Garst reports teams will be paying much more for their insurance.
Insurance premiums for games could double this year, according to broker NFP. But Joe Favorito, a sports marketing consultant who teaches at Columbia University, says not letting fans back in is financially just not an option for teams.
You need to have fans in the stands. So I think you'll see teams running the risk of not having the proper insurance versus not having people in the building.
He expects teams will try and absorb the increased cost of insurance in an effort to woo reluctant fans back. Attracting those fans in person is a bigger deal for some sports than others. Mark Edelman teaches sports law at Baruch College. He says NFL teams get the biggest share of their revenue from TV deals and will be the least hurt by fans staying home.
By contrast, baseball and hockey teams have generated the greatest share of their revenue from live attendance.
But at the end of the day, he too says no sport can survive without a live crowd. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
Markets are closed for the New Year's holiday, but there is a bit of news. The New York Stock Exchange said it will delist 3 Chinese corporations, China Mobile, China Telecom Corp, and China Unicom Hong Kong, from trading between January 7th and January 11th to comply with a U.S. executive order that imposed restrictions on companies identified as affiliated with the Chinese military. Now, the Chinese Foreign Ministry has vowed to protect these Chinese companies and has threatened in the past with its own blacklist of U.S. companies. Gyms on New Year's Day are often packed with people who vowed this is the year they're going to start exercising. For sure, the fitness industry tends to get a big bump this time of year, and then eventually people stop going and forget to cancel their memberships. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra talked to some businesses in the industry about how they adapted in 2020 and what they're expecting in January.
Bill Leah owns a chain of 4 gyms in upstate New York called Vent Fitness. And he says despite the pandemic, on New Year's Day,
I think that the demand will be there. People will want to come back.
I mean, they've been coming. Leah says about 60% of the gym's members have returned. But gyms in New York are only allowed to open partially, in his area, at a third of normal capacity, which means...
In one of our clubs yesterday, you know, we had a line of probably 10, 15 people outside that wanted to come in, but we were at our capacity limit. So before we could let someone in, we had to have someone leave.
Meanwhile, Michael Lapuzzo, a personal trainer in New York City, is expecting to be busy this January. He teaches Pilates and dance virtually.
I've actually been really busy already. December has been my busiest month so far. It's almost like because people are at home more, they're ready, willing, and able to work out.
The virtual classes are not quite as lucrative as the ones he taught in person, so he's not making as much money. But he says he doesn't mind for now, as long as he can cover his expenses. One part of the industry that's had a great year, the companies that sell at-home exercise equipment, like Nordic Track, which makes treadmills and bikes that cost about $1,000 and up. VP of marketing, Colleen Logan, says the company's sales usually jump at predictable times, the holidays, New Year's, the week after Super Bowl Sunday.
People have had too much beer and too much guacamole.
But this year, the only trend is up.
In March, our sales were up 200% versus the previous March.
In April, they were up 400%. In May, 600%.
And they've pretty much stayed at that unprecedented level. For us, it was like January sales in July and then all the way throughout the fall.
So this January, Logan is expecting more growth. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
And I'll get to the gym after the Rose Bowl. I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.